washed in the blood this morning. Let's stand and sing it. 177.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen. That's beautiful. You may be seated. Come on up, choir.
Amen.
Morning. Everybody happy to be here? Good, because I like to be with people who are happy. How many of you are there? I got a few things here to read to you. Vacation Bible School, you want this information, because if you have children who are going to be going, you'll need to know that they're on the bus and heading up to Rome Mountain. June 3rd. It starts, of course, they're leaving the church at 8:30. Yeah. The starting time for that will be up there. That's about a 45 minutes, according to how they drive. But anyway, to get up there to Rome Mountain. But they're leaving the church here at 8:30. So please have your youngins here. And if you have a small child that needs a booster seat or a car seat, be sure and have that with you so we can lock them in. Unless you want to get on the bus and go with them too, this is going to be a good one. They're going to like this. They're going to really love this. That's the ages 2 and up to 12. Got things for all of them going. For those that want to drive themselves, please be careful. I didn't say that. Please be at Les and Jack is at 9:30. Oh, that's at Rome Mountain. You'll have to get the address so you can put it in your GPS, but it doesn't work up there. Address will be given to those. The phones don't work up there either. Be aware that Rome Mountain bike race will be going on. That's neat. I'm riding that one. That's good. Okay. They're going to be studying about Noah's Ark and God's creation. There'll be snacks and games and crafts and punch and everything will be provided. Who wants to go? I tell you what, let's all go up there and surprise them. What do you say? Okay, now let's see. There was another one. No, that's just for me personally. Angie gave me an envelope with a note in it, but it was just for me. And so I can't tell y'all what it was. If I told you, I'd have to kill you. Okay, y'all glad to be here. I can tell now you're getting warmed up. Are you getting warmed up? Y'all be warmed up. This is a special day. This is Mother's Day. I don't have my mom still here, and my kids don't have their mom still here. But this is still a special day. It is. And if you still have your moms with you, pay a lot of attention to your mom. Treat them like gold, because the day you don't have them, that's when you know you wish you had, more so than you ever did. So take good care of your mom. Show them a lot of love today. Before you leave the building today, every female in this church is going to get a flower. I made sure that we had plenty for everybody. So if you have little girls in your family, you make sure they get a flower also, okay? Because we want to treat them real special too. So all of you, be sure and get one. We'll have our young people out there giving them out as they go out.
Now, you don't have all day to choose a color. Okay? But there's three different colors, and I'm not going to tell you what they are. You have to look at them real quick and make a decision. So have your decision cap on, and that'll be good. I'm just having fun right now because I'm getting ready to preach here in a little bit, and right now I got to have fun. But for you who are visiting, I want you to fill out a visitor's card and drop it in the offering plate, and we'll welcome you as we have before. We'll do that. And Tom's going to sing us a special song here in just a few minutes. But if our ushers would come forward, we'll receive our morning offering. Deanie, good to see you. Yeah. Okay. Henry, would you bless this offering, please? Amen. Before Tom sings, let me say, Lisa Lowe, welcome today. She's the only person I know that could come between Linda and Johnny. And she does that because she's the daughter.
First of all, let me say welcome to all you mothers. You know, I made it through a war. And I made it through a wayward life because I had a praying mother. Of that I'm certain. She wasn't perfect, but she lived godly. And she never gave up on me. Many of you know, some of you don't. I love to sing. Haven't been able to sing. So I'm just going to depend on the Lord this morning. And this is for you moms. And this is for the Lord. Hang on. That's okay, right? Father, thank you for today. Thank you for my mom. Thank you for each mom. But oh God, I pray that each mom knows you as Savior. That they could raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Lord, if there's ever a day in our lives that we need godly moms, it's now. So, Lord, would you bless each one here? And would you bless this song? In Jesus' name, amen. just called to tell you all those tears you shed for me. They were not in vain. Mama, something happened tonight while traveling down a country road. I thought that you should be the first to know. I'm not the same. All those dreary days, they're over now. And those sleepless nights are past. All those prayers that you have prayed so long, they're answered now at last. Boy, not the boy I used to be. Mama, dear, oh, go ahead, sleep tonight. For I found Jesus. Everything all right. Oh, how every night before we go to sleep, I'd hear you ask the Lord my soul to keep. I might find I'm so thankful. Oh, that through the loneliness and all those wasted years, Mama, those prayers kept ringing. Every night and day, all those dreary days, they're over now. Those sleepless nights, all those prayers that you have prayed. Boy, I used to be. Mama, you can sleep tonight, for I found Jesus. Now everything's all right. I'm not the boy.
Thank you, Tom. Love to hear that song. Kid's not going. No? Okay. Okay, I was just waiting for the kids to take off the children's church, but I guess they're not going. Lacey decided she'd go. Uh, Okay, this is such a special day, especially for the pastor of a church and for the one who's preaching the message. And we still allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, even though we choose a message that will pertain to the day that it is. And I believe that God is in this, so I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Proverbs. You can look at chapter 11, verse 16. And if you're there, you'll see one verse of Scripture, and then I'll get into some others here in just a minute. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. Now, I don't know why there's a separation there of what it is about the woman, what it is about the man. It could be that God knew the way our brains are geared because He created man. He created woman. He made us different. I've always said that the Lord gave the woman more space, more room, more everything. He knew that because she could take care of it, control it. And us men, we just don't have that same capacity. Now, I'm admitting that not because I want you to smile and say, well, you did me a favor today, I'll probably ride home happy. Don't want you to think like that, because I want you to think more in a spiritual sense, because when God created us, He didn't create us for the time we live here on this earth. He created us for the beginning of our life here and then eternity. That's why we're created. So we got to think bigger than that. So a gracious woman retaineth honor. Let's ask the Lord to bless this message, because I want, when you leave here today, not that you just came to a Mother's Day service and that you was reminded of your mom. I'm always reminded of my mom, because I'm too much like my mom not to be reminded of my mom. All her faults and failures are mine. I have all the good stuff that she had. See, I got it all. My other brothers, they didn't get it all. I did. And I say that with a smile, because they know it's true. But if you knew my mom, you would love my mom. Now, there may be a time or two you might not like what she says or does, you know, but you would love my mom. She would make sure you loved her before you left her. If you didn't love her, she'd get you by the throat and she'd choke you till you said, yes, I love you. Just giving you an idea of how passionate my mom was about life. She was. She loved to go and do and be. Only little woman I ever knew that could take a refrigerator and move it anywhere she wanted to in the kitchen. And that was before wheels. What a woman. Give your mom a lot of thought today and some time by phone. As you know, we don't have service tonight. If your bulletin said we did, we don't. And if you looked in the paper Friday and it said we did, we don't have service tonight. We do that especially for you to spend more time with your mom if you can. So please do that. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this scripture today. We thank you for Proverbs. We know that Proverbs deals with us as human beings and how we deal with each other. And thank you for saying so much about women and how important women are in our lives. But how important women were in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, the Bible itself. And we just praise you for it. And I pray that one day we can learn more and more about how important and why they're important to us all the time. We praise you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here in this sanctuary today, and I know you are, I want you to leave here knowing how important you are, not just to us, each of us, but how important you are to the God in heaven and how special he made you. And you just make sure everybody knows that. Of course, I know if you feel that way, you won't tell anybody. You'll just keep it in and gloat yourself within yourself. And that's good. I hope you will. But I also, at the same time, dug up some other scriptures about women in the Bible. And we have that here today. Now, no one in the scriptures says more about women than Proverbs, and never gives them a proper name. Now, there are many women listed in the Bible, but they have their names, but Proverbs doesn't do that. So it told me something. It told me that women were more important than just their name. They're more important because of how they think, how they act, how compassionate they are, the things that make a woman's heart a woman's heart. So we know, since he didn't give them a proper name, he wasn't concerned about the name. He was just concerned with what a Christian woman's heart would be like and how she would treat other people, especially her own husband. Wouldn't that be great? I love it when you laugh. It's good. Laughter is good medicine. I believe in it. But how important women were in the Old Testament, it's just unbelievable. I'll give you an idea in just a few minutes how that is, but how important they were in the Old Testament. But when we get to the New Testament, nothing changes. They're just as or more important in the New Testament than the Old Testament. So we know how important it is. And there's a reason for that. And I had to go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 to find out exactly what's going on with this. And I'm not going to get into all the things that's going on in our society today about female and male and the changes that are made and how I believe people are going against what God created. And I believe whoever goes in that direction is going to answer for it. I'm not going to try to solve the problem. I'm not going to try to fix the problem. I can't. God can, and he will. And we'll just leave it at that. But in Genesis, he says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them." Then he said in verse 28, here's what I want you to do. "Since I created you, male and female, I want you to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." Now, I'll just go ahead and say it. A woman can't do that with another woman. A man can't do that with another man. So that tells me that it's against the word of God. Now, I'll just leave that alone. So here what we want to see here, that even though it's impossible for that to happen, God wanted us to see the woman the way he wanted us to see the woman here today. There's an English proverb, and you all, I'm sure, know it. You've probably seen it on a shirt at some point or time, or you've heard it in some kind of a speech. It's an English proverb that says, "The hand which rocks the cradle rules the world." Now, I don't know how deep in thought this man was when he made that statement or who it was that made it, but I'd have to say, according to Proverbs, he's exactly right. And I'll give you some for instances here in a minute how, ladies, I hate to put this pressure on you, but you're more important than us men when it comes to that part of it. And that's not to put that heaviness on you. I'm just telling you how important you are. So it might, when you leave here today, you might have a different view of yourself. We have to take that because that's not scripture. That's just a proverb that was given, and I do believe it because I locked it in with Proverbs 14:1, and here's what you get. In Proverbs 14:1, it says this: every wise woman buildeth her house. Every wise woman buildeth her house. But, you see, there's always two sides to every story. Always. But the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. We got two different types of women here. We got, I'm not going to say mothers, I'm just going to say women, because that's what he says. I'd like to think if they were in a relationship with their husband and they were living in the same house, they'd be taking care of this house for him too. In most cases, they do. Absolutely, right? So every wise woman buildeth her house. Now, we're not talking about taking the lumber and the nails and the shingles for the roof and all that stuff and building the house. We know where the strength of a house is. The strength of a house is not in whether it's brick, wood, or made out of straw. If y'all remember that story. That's not what he's talking about at all. What makes a house or a home strong is what goes on inside. And what goes on inside has to have some direction. And we're going to see here that the woman usually is the one who is thinking more about the direction of what goes on in the house and the raising of the children and everything than the man. That, I'm not saying that should be right or wrong, but I'm just saying to you, men, we have some work to do. Never heard one woman say amen. Amen. Did I hear one? I know I didn't hear a man, because I can detect a man's voice most of the time anyway. But a wise woman is one that buildeth. Now, if you know how the wording goes, the TH on the end of that means that she doesn't just build, she continues to build. She never stops building. There's no quit. In a good godly woman, there is no quit in how she sees her family and the direction that family's going, and she's going to stay on top of it no matter what. So she's building all the time, and it's never going to stop. Well, where does she know how to build? Well, from what God has taught her in the Word of God, because you see, what she's doing, she gets from before. The foolish woman gets what they got later. Now, if this don't strike you like it struck me, then I must have been wrong sitting there studying for this. Because let me read it to you again. The wise woman buildeth her house. That means they're building continuously, and where they started from wasn't in the future. They didn't go into the future and do this, but they're going to continue building. When the foolish woman plucketh it down, she plucketh it from what she gets as she goes. You don't get bad stuff from beginning and say, okay, I'm going to go with the bad stuff. I'm going to build this house with all this bad stuff that I know. No, when she starts tearing it up, that's when it begins to go downhill. And so it's a wise woman and a foolish woman. And that's what he's trying to get us to see here in these few verses of Scripture. You see, during this time, when you talked about the kings, for instance, that were of Judah and Israel, when you talk about them, there is no pattern for which were good and which were bad. I'm throwing this in because I want you to see why it makes a difference. There was a good king that followed a bad king. A bad king would follow a bad king, and a bad king would follow a good king, and a good king would follow a bad king. You can study them and see. There was no reason nor rhyme to where the kings came along. The only reason or rhyme or pattern for what come along were the mothers in their lives. That was the only place you could get a pattern, was in the mothers of their lives. Now, in Proverbs, he tells us of a model woman because he wants us to know what a model woman is. And I'm just going to have to leave this up to you as to how you look at it from your own standpoint and how you're going to look at it for your own life. But he's going to tell you what it is to be a model woman. So to do that, we've got to stay in Proverbs because Proverbs is doing this. In Proverbs 31, if you can throw that up, John, that would be good. Look at verse 26, if you will, because verse 26 begins to tell us more of what we can know in the Scriptures. She openeth her mouth. I'm going to go ahead and read all these, and then I'll come back to them one by one. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Now, this is a model woman. Really? We know what a model woman is. A model woman is the one who has it all together and perfect in the view of everybody's eyes. And, man, it's looking good, right? So here's what she is. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Doesn't matter whether he's mad at you or not. He has to do that. If that's what you are, he can't go against what you are. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all, model woman. You're the top. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. That's good stuff. Well, let's take a look at each one of them and see where he's going with this. Look at verse 26. So it says to me that she speaks with wisdom. Wisdom is not something that she got from Reader's Digest. Wisdom is something she got from the Word of God. She had a relationship with the Lord. A good mother is going to have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. You're going to have that. If you're going to be the model, the top of the line mama, you've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You may know how to give your kids good gifts. You may know how to get them dance lessons, ball, baseball, basketball, softball, football, soccer ball, all the things that we play, volleyball. Couldn't leave that one out. Yeah, all those things that we want for our kids. We want them to enjoy some things, so we pay attention to that. Well, that's not what he's talking about here. Just because you do that doesn't make you wise. That you say, well, I want my child to have more than I had. That's good, mama. But first of all, you got to have the wisdom that can only come from God. And if you don't have a relationship with God, you don't get the wisdom. You can't understand the Bible until you have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. You must first come to that before you can lead your child to that. And the best thing you'll ever do in your life is to tell your child one day about Jesus Christ who died on an old rugged cross so that that child could live forever. Amen. Best thing you'll ever do. Because ball and all the other things that we have, they come and go. But their relationship with God does not come and go. It stays. So she speaks with wisdom and she speaks with kindness. There's nothing meaner than a mean woman. I heard all kinds of amens there. I knew I would when I said that. And most people agree, right? For the most part. But for a woman who's speaking kindness, there's nothing more kind. That's the truth. A man can say kind things. I try to say kind things a lot, you know, or they just come out naturally. I hope that I can improve somebody's life by saying kind things. But when a woman speaks kindness, it's just like, oh, honey and butter coming from their mouth. It's just so good, right? And moms, we got to speak more kindness. That's what she says about the model woman here. There's not any gossip in her. There's no slander. There's no falsehood. So you don't want your children hearing you gossip about somebody. You don't want your children hearing you slander somebody or speak terrible of somebody. You can't do that now because a model woman doesn't do that. In verse 27, she oversees. She oversees. And I'm not going to cut that word down any bit. That's exactly what she does. She oversees the things that can help in the home. She has learned the principles of managing the household. We mow yards. Men mow yards and trim the bushes. Right? We might even paint a building, or we might even do something else outside. Never know. But the woman manages the household. And that doesn't mean that she's only the only one that works inside, man. I didn't say that. I said she's the one that manages what's going on. There's a whole lot of managing to do, and it's not about who washes the dishes next. Right? No, that's washing the dishes is nothing. I've got that down pat. When I get a dish, a sink full, I wash them. No, I'm kidding you. I don't do that. I can't do that. My wife would not have agreed with that at all. I never, hardly ever found a dirty fork or a spoon in the sink. So when I see about 15 or 20 of them now, I say it's time to wash them. I see some of y'all with your mouths open. I'm having a little fun here on Mother's Day. At the same time, we're serious about what God's teaching us about the mother, okay? I do know how to wash dishes, and I wash dishes. I know how to run the vacuum cleaner, and I run it. I know how to do Swifters, and I do them. Dry, wet, dog hair, Swifters, I can do them all. You learn to do that when you got to do it yourself, right? So, but the woman has more about her than just those things. She manages what goes on inside the house. So it's a whole lot more than just the things that we do. She is the ultimate homeschool teacher. Not just the ABCs and the mathematics of homeschooling. She is the homeschool teacher. She's more than that. She is the homeschool principal. She's the homeschool director of schools. Because she's everything that's what this woman does. The Bible plainly states that here. He does. She's kind. She's compassionate. She's considerate of others. She's all those things. But she is the one who makes the things roll. Because she's a good, godly woman who knows that steps that she takes or does not take may cause her children to have or not have a relationship with God or a better relationship with Him. So she's all the time thinking, will this fit together to make my children better? Will this fit together to make my relationship with my husband better? Will this fit together to make everything better inside my home? Because when my family comes in, I want them to feel something more than just a couch and a table and a chair and a refrigerator and a stove and all that stuff. I want them to come into a feeling of something that makes life much better. Thank you, Lord. Verse 28. See what he says. In verse 28, he said, her children arise up. They will. How many of y'all got your children here this morning? Yeah. Tom's got one, I think, but he's in nursery. Back here. Hi, Mom. Children, that includes all you 16-year-olds that think you're 29. Okay? You owe a lot to your mom. I'm saying that seriously. You owe a lot to your mom. Treat her exceptionally well today. Would you do that? Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Let's do that. Shouldn't we do that? Oh, I think so. Because he says we will, and if that's the case, then we should be doing it. She'll be rewarded and should be rewarded by her children and her husband. And today I would say to you men, this is the day that we do this. You make sure that she feels special today. And if they come back to me and tell me you didn't do that, I'm going to call the sheriff of Washington County and let him come and make you a visit. You ought to be in jail. Because this is Mother's Day, and they deserve. I don't care how perfect you think they are or how imperfect you think they are. They get the same treatment. They're not perfect like you. We know that. They're perfect. They're perfect. We owe them. We do. We owe them. A good, godly woman should be rewarded for the life that she's living and making your home what it is. You'll say, I thought I'd hear a good old soul salvation message today. No. You're getting what God gave me through Proverbs. And here's what Proverbs says. So not only is she to be praised by her children and her husband, many daughters have done virtuously. That's just women. More women have done virtuously. There's a lot of good women in the world, right? But, it goes on to say, but thou excellest them all. Now, this is the model. Do you want to be the model? You want to be that poster person? Well, of course you do. You want to be the best one. Every time a woman steps out of the house, they want to make sure they look better than any other woman they'll see that day. Everybody thinks that they might dress up for men to look at them. No, they don't. They dress up to see what the other women are thinking. Come on, let's get it right. Amen. I see the oldest mother in this congregation today shaking her head like this. She looks like a bobblehead. But the model woman is to be at the top of her class. Why wouldn't you work at being the top of your class? And I know some of you work at it really hard, and it's just like marriage. It takes hard work sometimes to get it done, doesn't it? It does. So let's give it our best, because this model woman is giving it her best. So many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Be at the top of your class. Verse 30, he said, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. So it doesn't matter how many people favor you, right, Lacey? It just doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter how beautiful you are. Dustin's already told me what he thinks, okay? And I know. But that doesn't matter as much as, because he says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord above everything in your life, fear the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord doesn't mean that you cringe, put on your hard hat and stuff like that. It means that you hold God in awe of who he is. When he tells us in Psalms who he is, we just stand with our mouth open. Wow. Wow. And we stand in awe of who he is. She shall be praised. So the woman who fears the Lord and lives by fearing the Lord and lives by looking at him all the time, then bringing that down to your children and your household, how wonderful that is. Look at verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Now she's going to be a little more than that spiritual woman who sees what God can do in this home that she's managing at the best of her ability. She will be known and talked about as a good Christian mother or a good Christian woman. She's going to be talked about. When it says in the gates, it says, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. The gates was the where they all went into town, and the men would sit in the gates of the city. And when they'd sit in the gates of the city, folks would come by as they're going into the town. They'd say, well, I tell you what, you've got a good wife. She's the hardest working person I've ever seen. And her children are immaculate, and they're so well-mannered. And they love the Lord. I heard them singing, Jesus loves me the other day. I'm just adding things, okay? But that's how that was at that time. Wouldn't you like it to be said that other people were talking about how wonderful you raised your children and how wonderful they are to other people, how polite they are, how caring they are to other people? And wouldn't that be great for the model mom to know that was her doings? I think that would be wonderful myself. There are so many women in the Bible who are known by names, and Proverbs doesn't give us any names. And I told you it's not important that we have the names. But I want to give you a few names of women in the Bible. Just a few, okay? Are you listening? Okay, you have started the first of the list, and so we start with Eve. Now, I'm not going to talk about Eve right now because Eve had it rough. Eve, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Leah, Zipporah, Rahab, Deborah, Ruth, Hannah, Esther, Mary the mother of Jesus, Elizabeth, Martha, Mary Magdalene, Lydia, and Priscilla. Now that's just a small fraction of the names of women in the Bible. Now you get all those and put them together and get their story. You got a lot of talking to do here. There's two you probably won't talk and you won't name your children. Jezebel. You're not going to say, Jezebel, you get in here. You're not going to do that. Or you're not going to say, Delilah. You don't give Delilah a pair of scissors, I can tell you that right now. Okay? You don't do that. And you're probably not going to name your daughter Jezebel. We know that. But those are just a couple I put on that side. By the way, all the women in the Bible weren't perfect. Just as everybody here today is not perfect. I don't want you to leave here today thinking you're going to have to live perfect. You're not going to. I want you to be that model woman according to God's eyes because you have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what we need to know. When we put people in the perfect slot, we're setting them up for failure. Truth. Whole truth. Nothing but the truth, so help me. Now, you say, well, what are some of these? Just got a few, and I want you to stick with me, okay? These are the first for women. If you want to know how important women are, a woman was the first one to be deceived by Satan. A woman was the first one to be lied to by Satan. A woman was also the first one to fall into temptation by Satan. Does that change who she was or what she was? No. It didn't make her look any different. Now, there's some other history in Adam and Eve's life you might want to know about how long they lived. I'm not going to tell you. They lived a long time. When they left the Garden of Eden because of sin, do you hate sin yet? They had it perfect. You talk about a perfect place to live forever. Location, location, location. They had it. I mean, God came down every day and talked to them in the evening. What a day. But sin ruined it all. It did. What a shame for that to happen. That's why we ought to hate sin, folks. But she listened and she fell into the temptation. Wasn't a good thing, but it was the way life is. And the bad things that happened in your life, if you've asked God to forgive you, move on. Move on. Let them alone and go on because God has other things for you to do. As long as you stay inside the thoughts of the things you've done wrong and you've asked God to forgive you, the more disappointed you're going to be and you're not going to get the job done for the Lord. He says, get forgiveness of it and move on. And let's move on together. So Eve was doing that. By the way, she had three sons, and one of them was a murderer. Does life get any better? Won't down here, but it will one day when we get to glory. That's why it's so important that we have a relationship with the Lord. So here's some more first. A woman was responsible, and I preached on this last week. A woman was responsible for the saving of the Jewish nation. How important is that? Esther did a pretty good job, didn't she? Yeah. A woman gave birth to the Savior of the world. That's a pretty good job. A pretty important job, I think. A woman was the first convert in Samaria. Now, you might think, well, how important is that? I think it's very important. Don't you think the day you gave your heart and life to the Lord was very important? Amen. Big day. Huge day. Huge day. And a woman was the first one in Samaria to do that. A woman anointed the Savior for his burial. After he was crucified on that old rugged cross and they were getting ready to place him in the tomb, she had already anointed him for the burial. They said, why in the world did she do that? And the Lord says, oh, she knew. She was doing it before I got there. Mary of Bethany. A woman was the first at the tomb on that Easter Sunday morning. Just to give you a little thoughts, a woman was the first one. And she was the one who echoed out through the night or the day, he's alive, he's not here, the tomb's empty. Then the men run to the tomb. She was the first one. But there was also a woman who was the first convert in Europe. You might think that's a huge thing at all of Europe, but a woman was the first one to be converted in Europe. I don't know how you feel about yourself this morning, ladies, but I want you to feel wonderful about yourself. But the only way that you can feel wonderful about yourself is if first things have come first. All the things that I said that a woman is, it's unimportant in your own personal life, except the fact you know how important the women were in the Bible, because now you got to bring it back home and think inside yourself, where am I? Where am I in that model mother or that model woman relationship? Where am I? And then you have to answer that question yourself, because no one can answer it for you. But God can take care of any problem that you have in your thought patterns today. I can tell you that. I want you to have a wonderful day, but I want you to have a wonderful day knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is your Savior, your Lord, and your Master. And if you are there, everything's okay. You don't have to be perfect, except in the eyes of God, and you are. Isn't that great? To the people down here, you may never look perfect. But in the eyes of God, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, he looks at you and says, oh, how perfect. How wonderful. The model woman. The women of the Bible. How important were they? How important are you to your household? Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful for a Mother's Day. You know that the love we had for our mothers, or the love we have for our mothers today, is very small compared to how you love, because you love with no reason to love. We loved our moms because of what she did for us and how wonderful she was. Or we love our moms today because they are wonderful to us. But you loved for no reason. You just loved. Thank you for that. And I pray, oh God, today that every woman in this congregation leaves here knowing how special they are in your sight. And we're going to praise you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. And if there's a person in this building today, it does not have to be a woman, of course, but if there's a person in this building today that says, I can't say that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but I want to, if you will step out from where you are and walk forward, I'll meet you right here at the front. And by that, you can say, I want Jesus Christ as my Savior. Float from Calvary's mountain. Sing that chorus with feeling.
The cross and the cross bear my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Thank you, Les. It's 1 minute after 12. And at 1 minute after 12, I'm going to ask just a few questions before you leave. I want to find the youngest mother in this building today. Is there a mother here younger than 18? Younger than 25? Younger than 27? Youngest mother in the house is right here. Y'all congratulate her now when she leaves, okay? Now, the oldest mother in here, is there one older than 100? Is there one older than 97? 96? 95? 94? 93? They have to point at you, Marie. Do a little pointing yourself. I think that's amazing. Amazing, yeah. Honey, could I tell you that she could teach you a whole lot? A lot of years, and years are wisdom. In June, which is right around the corner, she'll be 94 years old. Isn't that great? Yeah, God's good. He is. So, now, daughters, y'all treat her exceptionally well today. I know you will. I know you already. And spend good time with your family today. And listen to your moms. They're wise. Especially if they're Christian mothers. They're wiser. And they go to the top of that list of the model woman, okay? Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed. Come back Wednesday night at 6 o'clock when we're in the book of Zechariah. It's been good and it'll continue to be good. Nick, would you dismiss us, please?
Thank you for every mother that's here this morning, Lord God. I pray, God, that they would.